we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, October the 4th, 2019. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Elise Jacobson. You can say hi to the camera because we're on Facebook Live. And our control room operator, Carol Davies McIntosh.
Hello.
Can wave to the camera. And we also have our visiting guest co-host, Leanna Picard, who happens to be my sister traveling from the States.
Hello.
And in our studio guest today, we have Angel Catherine Chen. Hi, Angel. And
hi.
Thanks for joining us here today. Looking forward to speaking with you. So much has happened this past week in the world of global climate awareness and action, but the fight continues on. We'll be speaking on our thought on how we can better promote the diet of climate change through diet change now that we are 100% in an environmental crisis. But also we'll have some new news about how vegan businesses are actually burgeoning in Vancouver. Yesterday there was the 100 debates for the environment that took place for Vancouver Quadra, and it saw a live stream on the environment that I wish I could have seen, but it was all live streamed on their page and you can take a look at it later. We'll post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. But even better than that, we have Angel Chen here with detailed notes because she attended, and so we can have a discussion with her about what went down yesterday during this debate that was happening across 100 ridings across Canada yesterday on October the 3rd. The election is coming soon, and I'm so happy that candidates are making time to become involved in such an event. But to start, let's start with a film that both Leanna and I saw at the Canadian premiere here in Vancouver this Wednesday. The film is called A Slice of Life, and it's made by filmmaker Mahesh Katha Mangalam, who is local here to the Lower Mainland. This was a wonderful event put on by our local event planner, Zoe Pallid, and she also organized an expert speaking panel about all things veganism to take place after the screening. So, Leanna, you're lucky enough to be in town here while this was on, so of course I wanted to take you because when you're here, that's sort of like my vacation time to do all the stuff that I never have time to do. So what did you think of the film offhand?
I like the way it was laid out. It had all different speakers cutting in and out, talking about veganism and the veganism lifestyle. And it was nice to see all those different perspectives and how they each adjusted to transitioning to a lifestyle and all the great information they had on, like, for even new people to, like, start leading that type of lifestyle and how important veganism is.
Right. And I think the filmmaker said that this film came into fruition about 4 years ago when I think he said he was transitioning, right? And he wanted to know more. Did you get that from him?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember. I was the one writing notes the whole time. So yeah, he had this idea for this documentary 4 years ago. And I love the film. It's basically, it's a series of interviews with very well-known vegan activists and vegan food activists and animal activists. Some of the people that I recognized were Matthew Kenny, based in Santa Monica, I believe. He's a very well-known, long-time raw foodist, and his food is amazing. He's got restaurants in LA, but also in Manhattan, New York. We went to that one of them. Remember the Double Zero Pizza?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's just a taste of what his food is like. There was a fitness instructor named Bianca Taylor, Andy Levitt from the Purple Carrot. These are just people who had some really interesting things to say. And I think he was the one who was saying that when he grew up, there was, oh no, it was Bruce Friedrich. He was saying there were four food groups: McDonald's, Big Macs, and Dairy Queen Blizzards.
Oh no.
And KFC. Those are the four food groups of going up. And these are long-time vegan activists now,
right.
So they lived in a world like that I know, like you and I did,
yeah.
Elise, right?
Yeah,
and certainly Leanne and I grew up on a basically deserted point of an island, right? You would say. So the Dairy Queen Blizzards were our treat when we got to the nearest town that was a three-hour drive away that made us car sick, and then we'd go eat this huge blizzard.
Oh no.
We're on the way back even sometimes, and then it would make us more car sick. I remember that because dairy makes you sick.
Yay.
They also had Maya, the singer. I've known that she's vegan, and I didn't know that she was quite an advocate.
Oh,
she spoke
cool.
really well and really informatively, so I was happy
nice.
To see that for sure. And they spoke to the founder of the Veggie Girl, which happens to be one of my favorite restaurants. You must get to go there a lot going to Seattle. Would you not always go there every time?
I wouldn't say a lot. I've been a couple times. Yeah.
Oh, that's,
I like it a lot.
That's my go-to place, and Leanna's go-to place as well.
Nice.
So
it
was lovely to hear the co-founders speak about this restaurant that started out as one, and they are growing so much in the United States. And I actually asked them if I could franchise from them years ago, and they said they're not ready to go into Canada yet.
Wow.
I'm waiting. That was a long time
that'd
ago.
Be cool to have one in Vancouver.
Yeah, there was Josh Balk. He's the co-founder of Just. Now, Leanna, you're familiar with this program. Did he used to be called Just Eggs, or like what? Do you remember what their company was called before?
Oh, it was Hampton Creek, right?
Oh, Hampton Creek Foods. And then it just changed to Just.
Just,
But Leanna, can you describe some of the products that they have? Because I know you eat a lot of them.
Yeah, but I actually haven't seen them on the shelves for quite a while now. So in the town that I live in the States, it was in Target. And I've heard that it's coming back, but I don't know for sure. But they have lots of, well, I think their most popular is Just Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have just a lot of different sauces, and they're really good.
Yeah. Scrambles, egg scrambles that you can't tell the difference, right?
That as well, yeah. And actually, they just changed their recipe for that. So it's like the Just Egg second version. So it's even better. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Don't think they're available really yet in Canada, but we will find them one day. I also liked Gene Bauer, who founder of Farm Sanctuary. He's a great spokesperson. And he was talking about how in his sort of later years now, he just recently took on doing marathons just to show that a longtime vegan can actually just start doing marathons.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that they've been a non-vegan athlete their whole life and then they're going to vegan, because it's more fantastical that you're looking at just this vegan who went his whole life without exercising, and he took on the exercise, and now he's doing well in these triathlons and marathons that he's been working at. Yeah, so those are just some of the points that were covered during this film. I have lots more to share here, but we will have an interview with the filmmaker in a couple of months when he has the film coming up on Amazon, he said. So now, something else to talk about. If you watched last week's opening season version of Saturday Night Live, which I happened to have on because I was making a potluck dish, and it featured Woody Harrelson, who's a well-known vegan activist, and Billie Eilish, who I had heard of, but I didn't really watch her musical performances because I didn't know who she was. But then I realized, oh, she's that outspoken vegan activist who's a singer.
Awesome. I didn't know that, actually. My 11-year-old niece likes her music, but I didn't know.
Yeah, she's 17.
Was vegan,
so. So, you know, she's 17. She's less than one-third of the age of Woody Harrelson.
Wow.
and so he hosted. She was a musical guest. And since they were together, afterwards they hung out and they made this video, this just short video, as a call to dropping meat, dairy, and plastics out of our life to curb climate change in our environmental disaster. And the clip is called Our House on Fire, and here it is.
Our earth is warming up and our oceans are rising. Extreme weather is wrecking millions of lives.
From California to the Amazon, our forests are burning. We are in a climate emergency.
We cannot let this happen on our watch. Up to 1 million species are becoming extinct because of mankind's actions, and time is running out.
History shows us that when enough people rise up and demand change, those in power have no choice but to act.
Millions of people around the world are taking to the streets on a climate strike, demanding our leaders listen to the science and act.
We must take back power. That means voting for leaders who care about the future of our planet. Join in supporting environmental movements like Greenpeace or Fridays for Future, a global youth movement inspired by Greta Thunberg.
And doing what we can to live in a greener lifestyle, like cutting out meat and dairy in your diet and reducing plastic use.
Above all, keeping yourself informed and making your voice count.
If, like us, you love our planet Earth, follow organizations like Greenpeace and Fridays for Future and be part of protecting it.
After all, it's the only home we will ever have.
Well, we certainly did step up to the mark for that last Friday in Vancouver. We had 100,000 strong come out to the climate change strike, to the climate strike. I took my daughter and my grandson, so there were three generations of my family represented there, which made me kind of happy. It took us actually a lot longer to get there than I thought it would. We left extra time, but it took us over 2 hours to get there on the SkyTrain from Burnaby. And everybody on the SkyTrain was going to the climate strike, so we were all late getting there. But
wow.
Once we got there, we saw people marching down Cambie Street on to the bridge and over towards the library. And that, I was speaking to some constables there, and they were telling me that they watched the march for about 80 minutes.
Hmm.
The people were passing over it. They kept passing over and over. So they had actually given me that estimate to start with of 100,000 people, and it turned out they were right.
It heard, yeah, that's what we were told, 100,000 people.
Amazing.
And Angel was there.
Yeah.
Angel, tell us about your gigantic sign.
It wasn't actually my sign, mm-hmm.
But you held part of it, I think.
Yeah, so a group of animal rights activists made a huge sign that stood taller than any other sign I've probably
loved
seen
it.
There.
We posted it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. And it was about how animal agriculture is the leading cause of so many of our environmental problems. So deforestation, ocean dead zones, species extinction, and air and water pollution. So it was a call to action. So at the bottom it said plant-based for the environment, I think, or something like that, to inspire people who are reading to change their personal lifestyle and habit for the environment.
Yeah. And you had mentioned on your Facebook earlier this week that there were, I was surprised, like I knew there were speeches, but you said there were no actual speeches on animal agriculture, although
That's
I know
right.
that during your speeches, you and your buddies positioned yourself apparently very strategically so that everyone could see your ginormous sign.
Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and just your thoughts on the lack of the message?
Mm-hmm, yeah. It wasn't surprising to me that they didn't dedicate any time to speak about animal agriculture, even though it is so significant to the destruction of our planet. I didn't hear any speeches about that or any call to action. There were really amazing speeches by young people and by the Sustainability Teens, who were the organization that organized this strike in Vancouver. And it was really great to hear from them because they were so young and they were in school, and really inspiring to other young people that were there. There were so many people from high school and probably younger as well.
Amazing.
But yeah, no mention of animal agriculture. And so hopefully, like, I would love to see that in the future. And it definitely needs to be a part of the conversation from
now on. I was
going to
say the school curriculum, and actually I know that Carol is working on some research on that, because there is humane education that is coming into the classrooms in Canada mm-hmm. to teach people about these issues so that they can go out to a rally like this and be more aware. So just final thoughts on the climate march for you, Carol. What was your big takeaway from
it? Well, you know, it was heartening to see the different age groups there. There were lots of teens and small little kids like my mm-hmm. grandson who's 5, and then mm-hmm. there was moms and dads with babies and strollers. There were seniors. There was just everybody was out there, and we had every group imaginable, every environmental or vegan group imaginable represented there. It was good.
But I really want to see that these groups merge together to
Me too.
You know, there was an article that was posted from the Manhattan climate strike that 400,000 people apparently attended, and apparently 100,000 coffee cups and Gatorade bottles were thrown on the floor. Not even put into garbage receptacles or recycling. They were thrown onto the ground by the climate activists.
That's right.
There's something wrong with that story.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's definitely a problem when you get any huge group of people together and some of them just aren't that responsible. So that's partly why we're in the mess we're in, right?
Yeah. On the way to the march, actually, I passed by a coffee shop on Broadway called Elysian Coffee, and they had put out a sign that said, "We have stopped giving out disposable coffee cups for that day in solidarity to the march." So that was really great to see.
Yes.
And if only more cafes did that for every day of the year, really.
Yeah. Liana, do you have your Stojo with you?
Not with me.
Oh, you should have brought it. We could have done a demo for the Facebook Live.
What's a Stojo?
Okay, describe.
Oh, actually, maybe I do. Should I?
Yeah, go get it. We'll just, so Liana's told me, we went somewhere the other day where she, you have to demonstrate for the camera.
All right, so it's a reusable cup. And you take the lid off. There's a straw that comes with it. You pop it open.
Oh, my goodness.
You have this for if you have a hot drink.
Your sleeve.
Your sleeve. Put the top back on the straw.
Wow.
Voila. Amazing. That's your reusable coffee cup. That flattens
it
up.
It folds up so small.
Yeah, you can carry it anywhere with you.
That's amazing.
So thanks for that little demo.
I have my little reusable cup. It's made of bamboo.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. So, yes, we're on a roll. I want to talk more about how veganism in Vancouver is on the rise. And we just have a bit of time for this, but Elise, you became famous on the CBC News again today. So let's talk about that.
It's kind of cool, actually. The CBC Vancouver is rolling out a series of articles and media pieces across all their platforms right now that's centered around the rise of veganism in BC. So that's kind of exciting. I happened to be interviewed for one of the articles because I'm the administrator of the Vancouver Vegans Facebook group, which we've talked about on the show before. But yeah, they kind of asked me about, you know, the evolution of the group when I first joined it. You know, I don't even know, 7 years ago or something, there were only maybe 250 people in the group, and now there are 8,100 people, and it's growing every single day.
I think
day.
You said about 1,000 in the last year?
Yeah. I feel like it grows by about 1,000 people every year, and it seems to be growing faster all the time. We just get higher volumes of people. So the whole series has been kind of profiling different vegans and vegan activists around Vancouver, like Joanne Chang, one of the co-owners of Nice Shoes, who also used to be involved with Animal Voices. She was interviewed as somebody who's been vegan for a really long time. She's been vegan for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. David Isbister, who runs plant-based foods, he was interviewed, and they did a video about
him. They did an awesome video. The editing was great. I recommend watching, and I just saw it last night, and I posted it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, all three actually that I know of, and I know you said there's a few more as well.
Yeah, they did a profile on a local vegan bodybuilder, Ravi Bogan, I think his name is, and I saw an article the other day about vegan tattoos or something too. They were talking about how more people who are getting tattoos are requesting vegan ink and stuff, and they were interviewing a tattoo artist from Arcane Body Arts, which is a local tattoo parlor that does vegan tattoos. So
thank you to the CBC for doing this series. It just popped out of nowhere. Feel free to have us on it if you want.
Yeah, totally.
I've been around here for 10 years just cranking out all these radio shows on the topic every week.
Yeah.
So
Do you know which country has one of the biggest unbroken forests in the world? It's Canada. Canada's boreal forest is one of the largest intact forests and wetland ecosystems remaining on Earth. That fresh water you're drinking is from the boreal forest, too. Facts are free. Save the forests.
Facts provided by Environmental Defense Canada. Find out more and join the movement at environmentaldefense.ca.
Facts are free, so let's get them straight. Canada has the ninth highest greenhouse gas emissions in the world, despite having less population than California. These are the facts. Climate change is real.
This campaign is brought to you by members of the National Community Radio Association. Our membership works with communities across Canada to recognize, support, and encourage volunteerism and civic engagement. Find out more about us by visiting ncra.ca. Listen local, think national, and get involved.
All right, so events. The first event is A Cube of Truth happening in Richmond, hosted by Anonymous for the Voiceless. The Cube of Truth is a peaceful static demonstration akin to an art performance. This demonstration operates in a structured manner that triggers curiosity and interest from the public. The idea of this action is to attempt to lead bystanders to a vegan conclusion through a combination of local standard practice animal exploitation footage and conversations with a value-based sales approach. This event is happening tomorrow, Saturday, October 5th, at Richmond Brickhouse Station. For more detailed information, you can join their Facebook group called AV Richmond Canada.
And I just wanted to point out that, Angel, you're involved with AV as well. Do you want to just say something very quickly about that? I know you have an event coming up October. I don't want to say the wrong...
If anyone is interested in becoming an activist and speak up for animals, we hold events almost every week and minimum twice a month in Vancouver. Please come and join us. Join our Facebook group, AV Vancouver Canada. And it's a great place to meet other like-minded people. It's a really great community. And above all, you're speaking up for animals, and they really need your help.
Yeah, and Leanna can attest to that as well, right, Leanna?
Yeah. Yes, I do that in the town that I live in South Dakota.
Cool.
The next event is Global Rebellion Burrard Bridge Takeover. Their event says, we will be declaring a climate rebellion and taking action in response to the climate and ecological emergency we are facing. This Canada-wide bridge out action will be happening from the east to the west. We will stand together on bridges all over the country in peaceful, festive, and nonviolent actions to make our voices heard. Come and join Extinction Rebellion Vancouver on Monday, October 7th at 8 o'clock a.m. or anytime you can throughout the day for a takeover of Burrard Bridge. Bring your instruments, art, songs, and anything fun and festive which you'd like to do on the bridge. To find out more about Extinction Rebellion, you can go to rebellion.earth, and Extinction Rebellion Vancouver can be found on Twitter at XR Vancouver BC and Instagram at XR_Vancouver.
What date? What was that again?
It's on Monday, October 7th. It starts at 8 in the morning.
Oh, next week. Okay, so we have to bring your violin, I bring my clarinet.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
And it's at...
it'll be a cacophony of beautiful music.
Right. The mustering place is at the Peace, I think it's called the Peace Park, Seaforth Peace Park. That's where they're meeting.
Probably first in Burrard, if that's on Seaforth.
It's around there, yeah.
Okay.
And on Tuesday, October 8th, the event, Rose's Law Vancouver Lockdown for Animal Rights, will be taking place at Vancouver City Hall, I think. This event is in honor of Rose, a chicken who was rescued from an Amazon supplying factory farm in California. For Rose and trillions of other victims around the planet, people everywhere are building support for Rose's Law, an animal bill of rights, starting with this global lockdown for animal rights. Nonviolent direct action and civil disobedience have been important drivers of change throughout history, and they're having major positive impacts right now as well. From September 29th to October 5th, people in cities around the world will be locking down, and these actions need your help. People from all backgrounds and abilities are encouraged to support by taking part in person or online. Join Vancouver activists taking part in this powerful coordinated action. More detailed information can be found on
on the Facebook event page. Please search Rose's Law, Vancouver Lockdown for Animal Rights to find it. The next event is the annual Compassionate Thanksgiving Potluck Celebration happening on Monday, October 14th. This is a vegan potluck taking place at OAC Hall on Bailey Street in Vancouver. Entry is by donation and doors open at 4:30 p.m. There will be musical entertainment and a raffle fundraiser. Tickets for the raffle are $3 each or two for $5. This is an animal-friendly event, so please bring a vegan dish, cut and pour for serving with at least 8 servings.
And it's a meatless meetup event too, right?
Yes.
Which I am a co-organizer of, so I'll be there, and I'm currently in the process of collecting awesome prizes to be raffled off.
That's great. So for more event details, they can be found at meetup.com in the Meatless Meetup group. And last event is the 6th annual Thanksgiving Vegan Community Potluck hosted by Vancouver Island Vegan Association taking place in Victoria on Saturday, October 12th. Tickets will be sold on Eventbrite for $5 each with an addition, and some of the proceeds will go to Rasta Sanctuary and a Home for Hooves Farm Sanctuary. Kids under 5 are free. Tickets will also be available at the door on the day of the event if they're not already sold out. So that is on Saturday, October 12th on Fort Street in Victoria. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send it to info@animalvoices.org, or you can send us a message on our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver.
Cool. And now for the news. According to the Vancouver Sun, photos of emaciated grizzly bears and the rescue of a distressed tropical turtle off of BC's coast have ocean watchers worried about the damage climate change is doing to local ecosystems. Rolf Hicker, a wildlife photographer and tour guide based in Port McNeil for the past 2 decades, recently posted photos to Facebook which show a malnourished grizzly sow with 2 cubs along the shore of Knight Inlet. The disturbing images were shared around the globe. Bicker said he had never seen a grizzly in such dire shape. He's concerned that they are suffering from the effects of climate change, particularly poor runs for salmon, a critical food source for the bears. I was shocked, said Bicker, a photographer for 35 years who runs tours by boat. He said, I've seen a lot in my life. I've been all over the planet. I shot a lot of wildlife in Africa and have seen the impact of mass tourism and all of that, but I've never seen animals like this with their rib cages out. End quote. Federal fisheries scientists said last year that Pacific salmon and their ecosystems are already responding to warming trends and marine heat waves. In the meantime, air temperatures over BC and Yukon have reached record highs in recent years, and in the Yukon have risen twice as fast as in southern Canada. Temperatures were especially high from 2015 to 2018 and coincided with a marine heat wave, the scientists said. Last month, First Nation and union leaders said the federal and provincial governments need to step in to help fishermen through the worst commercial fishing season in 50 years, as runs have plummeted for all species and in all regions. Hicker said he has been bombarded with emails from people accusing him of digitally altering his images and spreading fake news about climate change, he said. He was talking about how he got so much hate mail from people in government, from fish farm operators and other tour firms who say that he's hurting business, etc. That's pretty shocking that there's, I mean, well, maybe it's not. I don't know. I guess like climate change denialism is still a thing despite all of the evidence. But yeah, it's disturbing that animals are being so affected by industry and by climate change.
Yeah. And right now, when people are saying there's an emergency crisis and a lot of people aren't listening to that, mm-hmm. people are saying we have 9.5 years to reverse the right. trajectory that we're on,
yeah.
and people aren't listening to that. Mm-hmm. Well, now these emaciated, and they are, I believe I've posted a news story of this on our Facebook today, Animal Voices Vancouver. You can see these bears are actually skinny,
mm-hmm.
and bears aren't supposed to be like that.
Right. Yeah, you can see their bones, their rib cages, and everything. So.
And that's super concerning. Like,
yeah.
there's not enough fish. And when we were growing up, like in a fishing town, Leanna and I, with a hatchery and that, there was lots of salmon, mm-hmm. and that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Rapidly declining populations.
Absolutely. Yeah, climate change obviously plays a huge part in that. And I think overfishing does as well, and pollution, and you know, it's kind of all part of it. So, yeah, definitely something to be concerned about. And another news story, a legal group, Animal Justice, has been granted intervener status in a case challenging the removal of anti-Canada Goose ads from Toronto transit shelters. The case could have broad implications for animals and will decide whether animal advocates have the right to advertise on city property or whether municipalities can discriminate against groups and individuals that speak up for animals. The case started with a series of ads targeting luxury jacket company Canada Goose, posted by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. The ads reminded consumers that Canada Goose uses cruel and unnecessary animal products like coyote fur trim and down filling in its jackets, showing images of the coyotes and geese with captions like, "I'm a living being, not a piece of fur trim," and "I'm a living being, not jacket filling." The ads went up near Canada Goose's Toronto headquarters and the home of its CEO, Danny Rice, in October 2018, but were removed less than 24 hours later by Astral Media, which manages City of Toronto bus shelter advertising. Astral claimed the ads had prompted complaints. PETA filed a legal challenge over the ad removal, and now Animal Justice will intervene in that case to point out why removing animal rights-focused advertisements violates the right to free expression guaranteed under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Animal Justice will fight to ensure that municipalities are not permitted to unfairly remove ads exposing animal suffering caused by companies like Canada Goose. City property belongs to the public, and cities must not be allowed to close the doors on animal advocates and prevent them from expressing themselves in a public place on a matter of public importance. So the case will be heard in Divisional Court in Toronto on October 15th, 2019.
So based off what you were just saying there, how animal advocacy messages shouldn't be shut down, mm-hmm. well, we did a whole show a few weeks ago about how the vegan ads, Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign, have taken over the whole city of the transit right. system of Toronto and Montreal
right.
in all of September, and I think some of them are still running right now. Yeah. And these images they're amazing. They're so close up. You get to see into these animals' eyes and learn who they are. Mm-hmm. They can't be ignored. You're walking down the stairs and there's a picture of a baby chick, right. you know, who's about yeah. to be ground up alive, and there's pictures of a rat's face looking right at you with so much detail, mm-hmm. and you can't deny that they are beings mm-hmm. who must be considered. And it's interesting because that ad campaign is running now, mm-hmm. but the story is about an ad campaign that tried to run last year. Mm-hmm. The difference I can see is that it was specifically attacking a brand.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's
so I think that might be is what it comes down to. They don't want Canada Goose to be targeted, although in places like the whole city or whole state of California now, in as of 2023, Canada Goose or any other furs are outlawed.
Right.
So it's coming to a point now. Like, what do you think, Angel? Like, it's coming to a point now where things are happening, right? Mm-hmm. And TTC was totally open to the Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign, not open to this campaign last year. And I think that with this Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign happening all over the world with very little pushback from the places where they're advertising, I just think that that is going to become the norm. And mm-hmm. I think that with these fur bans coming in place, mm-hmm. people are going to go into the direction where wearing fur is no longer a status symbol. It's going to be something yeah. of embarrassment. Are you seeing that already in your yeah. fur activism?
I think the public's perception of fur has changed.
Starting to change. And that's yeah. just from this past year, I think, of, you know, yeah. all these
with
fur
California
protests.
California banning fur.
Oh,
well,
and that too.
In its last stages.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. California is the world's fifth largest economy. Mm-hmm. And although it might be pretty warm there, they do sell a lot of Canada
wow.
Goose.
Right. Yeah. San Francisco.
So we need this happening in Vancouver. That's all we've got for news. Thanks, Carol. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
So yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, there was the 100 debates for the environment that took place for Vancouver Quadra, and it saw a debate on the environment that our guest here, Angel, happened to be at, and it's also all live streamed on their Facebook page, which I will get to our Animal Voices page, but I haven't had a chance to watch the whole live stream yet. It just happened last night, and then I said, Angel, would you like to be on the show to be a reporter about this, because I know she was attending. And so we have Angel Catherine Chen here with her detailed notes so we can discuss about what went down yesterday during this event. And this is happening across Canada yesterday with all different ridings across the country because the federal election is coming soon. And I'm really happy that candidates are making time to be involved in such an event. So could you start by telling us what this event was, how it was advertised? It was at the University of British Columbia. I believe it was free.
Yeah.
That's good. So it was open to university-type students, very close to where I live, but I couldn't make it. And then who was there?
Yeah, so the 100 Debates on the Environment is a national initiative to hold all candidate debates on the environment in 100 ridings across Canada on October 3rd. And last night at UBC for Vancouver Quadra, there were Liberal MP Joyce Murray, for the Green Party, Jeff Wright, for the NDP Party, Leigh Kenny, and the Conservative Party, Kathleen Dixon, was invited but declined to attend. Yeah, so the format of the debate was, it was hosted by Dr. Simon Donner, who is a professor at UBC. He is in the Department of Geography and an expert on climate science. So he emceed the debate. So they started out with four questions that was pre-prepared. The first question was about water, the second one about protecting the forest, the old growth forest in BC. The third question was about keeping to our climate targets in Canada, the greenhouse emissions targets. And the last question was about pollution and toxic substances and pesticides. Mm-hmm. And then following that, there were four more questions that came from the local organizers on the Paris Agreement, about climate adaptation and lawsuits on fossil fuel companies. How will you hold fossil fuel companies accountable for their pollution? Third question on jobs and the right to clean environment, last questions. Mm-hmm. Then they took questions from the audience. So I submitted a question on the role of animal agriculture, mm-hmm. on climate change. And I asked what their political platform was going to do about that and them personally. And so, yeah, the debate didn't touch on that if I hadn't asked this question, so I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah. What was their response?
So I was pretty disappointed with each candidate's response, to be honest. No one had any concrete plans of action to deal with this problem. And since animal agriculture is heavily subsidized by the Canadian government, $4 billion a year goes to egg, dairy, and chicken farmers in Canada.
Wow.
And to put that into perspective, the oil and gas industry only receive about $3.3 billion of subsidies a year, which is under what the animal agriculture industry gets. So that's really interesting. So the NDP's response is that, you know, she admitted that she wasn't super informed on this topic, but she was basically saying that they could work with different groups that are involved, so farmers. So my thoughts on that is, since this industry is so self-regulated, it doesn't make sense to be asking advice from the people who are carrying out this work.
Right.
It should be coming from scientists and people who work in research, because the facts are there that this industry is so polluting to the environment, and is terrible for our health too, and animals. And then the Joyce Murray from the Liberal Party, she says she was very happy to expand and develop to keep talking about this, and she seemed very interested on tackling this problem. And she talked a bit about how we can use technology to solve it, which I'm not really sure about either, because the answers are there. We just have to stop subsidizing this industry.
Well, maybe she's thinking of, like, going towards more of clean meat technology and subsidizing mm-hmm. these sorts of companies that are out there needing more pea protein because the Beyond Meat burger is selling out in Canada. And,
yeah.
and what I understand is they have put money into that. Maybe that's what she was thinking about.
Yeah.
Because we don't need animal agriculture subsidized so much. We need right. plant agriculture subsidized.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't touch on subsidies, mm-hmm. but I'm glad that it was part of the discussion. And the host of the debate, Dr. Simon Donner, he said to the audience, animal agriculture is responsible for 15-20% of our emissions in Canada, mm-hmm. And also globally. So that is the truth. And the transportation sector is at about 18%. So it's very close. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that that was brought up. I would have liked to see more call to action for individuals that were in the audience, mm-hmm. Because I think all of us can make some changes that can, like, together we make a huge difference. So, yeah.
Are these politicians going at it when they're answering all these questions in general about putting policies into place and subsidizing and changing laws rather than single person action? Was that your perspective?
I didn't hear either, really.
They didn't give any options?
No, none. On this question specifically, it was pretty yeah. clear that either they've never thought about it, or I'm sure they've heard of it. I mean, this is a huge topic, mm. but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. If they never considered it, then they should.
Yeah.
And it should be yeah. on their priorities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is actually making me think of a press release that I just read last night from Greenpeace. I just pulled it up and I'll summarize it really quick. But 65 scientists from 11 different countries, including the Canadian geneticist and broadcaster David Suzuki, published an open letter yesterday that called on mayors around the world to address the climate crisis and improve urban health by reducing meat and dairy consumption by cities. One of the lead authors said cities can play a crucial role in helping citizens to reduce their consumption of livestock products and to enable the changes necessary to meet ambitious climate change targets. And they're planning to deliver this open letter to a network of megacities which represent a quarter of the world's economy, including Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, at the C40 World Mayors Summit in Copenhagen from October 9th to 12th. So that's kind of relevant. Like, you know, you got these prominent scientists around the world saying people, you know, politicians need to be doing something about this. These mayors of mm-hmm. these cities, we need to take action on this and reduce meat and dairy consumption. Absolutely.
That's so true. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the discussion right now is on the oil and gas industry, mm-hmm. and which is obvious, of course, and the fossil fuel industry. But what we need to be talking about more is the role of animal agriculture in how much it is affecting our climate and our environment and our ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just coming up so much more now, I think, with the destruction of the Amazon rainforest that mm-hmm. had made the news since August, also yeah. September. Don't know an update. Like, what I understand is it's always burning. Is that the case at some place or another?
I don't think it's let up. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still
yeah. Well,
I
think I understand that the fires at that point were all kind of done at once purposely to show that the farmers were on the side of the president of Brazil, right? And to show.
Oh, I thought it yeah. was they were set because they were clear cutting forests for mm-hmm. the cattle.
Right, I understand that too, but it's more, from what I've read, it's been more like too, like they're showing that they're all in solidarity together, right? So they're just, like, how much forest do you need to cut? Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be burned down for months, does it?
Like, well, I think what happened was they set some of the fires intentionally and then yes. they got out of control, so they just they oh, weren't okay. able to contain them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does, yeah, it does go to show that, you know, the industry is out of control. Like, obviously they are, you know, it was well established that they set those fires primarily to clear forest land mm-hmm. for livestock. Which, yeah, and, you know, obviously we can't just blame Brazil for that, because a lot of the animal products, beef in particular, that's produced in Brazil is exported. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. fast food burgers that people buy here are made with Brazilian beef and stuff.
So. Yeah.
Oh, I understand a lot of it is for cropland, too.
Yeah.
And that can't yeah. be all fed to animals in Brazil.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what else do you have for us, Angel? All your notes. What else would you like to share from this talk that you attended?
Something that's interesting to me is there are 100 countries in the world that have, each citizen has a right to a clean environment, clean water, a safe place to live, and a clean air to breathe. And in those 100 countries, Canada is not one of them. So that's that's very interesting.
Was this like a global agreement that these countries signed together?
I don't think so. Yeah, okay. Just independently.
Huh.
And so during the debate, one of the questions was, will you support the right to a clean environment bill, if you like?
Mm-hmm.
And all the parties, Green Party, NDP, and Liberals, they all said yes. And then, so that's really great. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, mm-hmm. Because Canada, on the world stage, I feel like, is seen to be very progressive on their environmental problems. At least we talk about it,
mm-hmm.
But we don't have this right enshrined in our laws,
right?
For each citizen.
Breathe.
In 100 countries in the 110 yeah. countries in the world have that in their laws, that each citizen has the right to a clean environment, clean air, clean water, and a safe place to live.
Right.
But not in Canada. So we want that to be established soon.
Yeah. Right.
I worked with the David Suzuki Foundation. I volunteered with them at a beach cleanup, and mm-hmm. they were trying to educate people on the subject and to bring the awareness. And we can write to Catherine McKenna, who is the Minister of the Environment for Canada, mm-hmm. for her to push this initiative.
Right.
Because it's definitely overdue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like this is especially urgent right now, considering all of what we've been hearing recently about issues with lack of clean water on Indigenous reserves. And
exactly.
Stuff like that. You know, like it's affecting people acutely, you know,
yeah.
this lack of clean water and a clean environment.
Vancouver, the city, has declared a climate emergency,
mm-hmm.
an environmental crisis.
Oh, right.
So why can't we have that starting here?
Yeah.
And when are straws going to be banned, by the way? Because I saw one the other day. At somewhere we went to.
Oh, plastic straws?
Yes, plastic straws. Yeah. Paper straws? Okay.
It was supposed to be in June this year, which has mm-hmm. passed, and they were...
So they're not complying some places.
Mm-hmm. They're saying maybe next year, 2021 mm-hmm. or something.
Oh, okay.
Or, mm-hmm. yeah. Delay
but it. Also, I have to... I kind of say that facetiously, because the straw is a token thing that established business can take. I personally look towards where I work at the University of British Columbia and food services there. I've been there for over 25 years, right? And I've seen as a student 25 years ago how nothing was sustainable, and we had, you know, styrofoam to go take out containers and that. And just recently, in the past several years, they have been really upping up their game. They give out actually these kind of like expensive looking bamboo plates now that are can actually reuse them, but you're allowed to keep it. And I try to stay away from that as well, right? But I was given one because I didn't know I didn't know there was free food where I was going, and it was from Virtuous Pie. So I took the bamboo plate and I kept it there to reuse. But I feel that also they need to make so many more steps. They actually mm-hmm. have this initiative where they have a lot of chopsticks as well in their eating areas, right, on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to throw your chopsticks into this bin. I have a picture of it where it goes to this program, I think, where some kind of engineering students are squishing the chopsticks down so that it's made into reusable wood that they can build things in. And then the box to put them in was made with that wood,
cool.
They showed as an example.
Nice.
So, and I have to say too, like with the UBC Sustainability Initiative, they're funding projects like this that students want to take on,
mm-hmm.
where they want to see if they can, you know, students have a lot of ideas and engineers and that, and they want to see if they can do something that could be a sustainable service or product in the mm-hmm. future. So we're seeing lots and more of that. They just need to come out.
Yeah, I think that's really great, and how students are getting creative to be involved in projects like that.
Yeah.
I on the topic of waste and plastic waste especially, please. I think something that is always overlooked and never talked about, even though it is the most significant source of plastic pollution in the sea, is the fishing industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've covered that on the show.
Okay, and it's, and it's the fishing nets, right?
Yeah. Right. So, and other fishing gear.
Yeah, so 46% of all the plastic pollution in the sea comes from the fishing lines and the fishing nets, and with a huge percentage that comes from other fishing equipment.
Yeah, on top of that, right?
Like on top of the 46%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so if you're hearing this on this radio, I think we have to stop funding the seafood industry, because that is destroying.
We have to stop eating fish too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just not sustainable.
Yeah, I was going to say about I was going to say about straws. You know, obviously every little bit counts, but plastic straws only account for 0.025% of the plastic in the ocean. So it's a very, very small percentage. Like you said, most of it is fishing nets and other fishing gear. So it's you know, all this focus on plastic straws seems weird.
Well, I think, isn't Starbucks particularly focusing on plastic straws? Like, haven't they gotten rid of them? But yet they still have their plastic cups
and
with
lids.
The sleeves.
Yeah, lids. Right. They designed a new lid that, to, in my opinion, looks like there's more plastic.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that's a topic for another show. I have so many pet peeves that we can speak about.
Like, we can definitely all do our part and bring our own cups.
And also just hold companies accountable for greenwashing, you know, all these, just making a big deal about plastic straws when they're doing other stuff that's, you know, destroying the environment.
So, Angel, just for one last question, was there a positive takeaway that you can talk about that you got from this talk last night, this debate?
Yeah, it was really inspiring to see a full audience. So people are certainly interested in hearing what politicians have to say on the environment. And since the next election is going to determine who is going to be in government of the 4 out of the 11 years we have to mitigate the damage that humans have done on the climate, arguably this is one of the most important elections. So everybody needs to get out there, register to vote, and actually go vote. And a lot of young people they make up a huge percentage of the voting population this year. So that's exciting, because it is their future, and I think they care. And a really just inspiring takeaway is just that all the candidates seem to have given some thought, at least, to the different aspects of environmental protection, even though they didn't touch on a large part, which is the animal agriculture.
Yeah, there's this whole event that was put on, and it's being put on everywhere in Canada.
So that's really great, and I hope that people go home and research more on the impact after it was brought up that, you know, animal agriculture accounts for 15-20% of our emissions, which is huge.
Yeah, it's getting out there. And with that huge sign you and friends had at the climate march, that is getting out there too, by the way. That's being reposted a lot. I think
that's really great.
Yeah, I just think that message, and then, you know, telling people, watch Cowspiracy. It's on Netflix. Everyone has access to it, and you'll know everything. There's so many uneducated people out there still, even our government leaders, but they're getting there. The door is being opened.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, Angel. Thanks for agreeing to come by. I'm glad you brought I'm glad you brought your woolly clothes, because it is cold in here. Elise is shivering, looks
a little bit.
Yeah. And Liana always wears her hoodie, so she's always prepared. So you've been listening to Animal Voices Radio here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I just want to say thank you again to our Facebook Live viewers who are watching right now. Wave. Okay, so please join us for next week's show on Friday, October 11th, and Carol's going to tell us what that's going to be about.
Well, we're going to continue with our school series. So I have an interview with a teacher and an interview with a student, and I also have a statement from a teacher who is actually kind of afraid to come on air. So I'm not even going to use any names on this right now, but
And that's part of your continuing series about schools.
About school and the use of animals in schools.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. We here at the Animal Voices Show modestly ask for you to keep connected with Animal Voices via the World Wide Web. Our past shows can be listened to on our website, animalvoices.org. All of our past podcasts are also available on iTunes and Google Play. You can join our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and we are now on Instagram as well at Animal Voices Vancouver. Now, if you are all wondering if you saw the treats that I brought today, which are all delicious donuts from Kartims, who do awesome vegan donuts, those are for, drumroll, my sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Liana. It's coming up. Your birthday's coming up in 2 days. I would sing happy birthday to you, but we're running out of time. But we are going to indulge in those donuts right after this, okay?
Thank you.
So, and thank you. I remember paying a tribute to you on last year's show when it was your birthday. Thank you for everything you do. Liana used to live here in Vancouver, and she has since moved to the Midwest, where she's getting veganism, the vegan message out there. She's a leader in that city, and she runs a group called Sioux Falls Action for Animals. She does cubes. She does a lot of outreach. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like you, Angel, but she's South Dakota's version.
And I'm planning our second annual Thanksgiving potluck for Thanksgiving. Giving in November.
I wonder where you got that idea from. Yeah, because I started them here in Vancouver, and now they keep going. So thank you for being here today. I am taking you to get to Vancouver Island after this to spend with our parents, spend your birthday with our parents. Also, it's another birthday today. To close the show, we're going to end with a song for my friend Jason, who celebrates his birthday today. It's his favorite song, Love Someone, by Brett Eldridge. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Oh, baby, would you look right there? The way the sun is hitting your head. The way the world just stopped right here in midair. I don't ever want to move. You put the cool in the breeze. You put the weak here in my knees. Put me right where I'm supposed to be. In your blue-eyed sea, and I wanna sail away. 'Cause when I wake up in the middle of the night, you holding me so tight, good for me, my oh my. Sure feels good to love someone. When you laugh at the way I dance, when you smile when you hold my hand, I look at you and I understand. Sure feels good to love. Sip by sip, sit back and let me drink you in. I'm falling for you over and over and over again. When I wake up in the middle of the night, you holding me so tight, good for me, my oh my. Sure feels good to love someone. When you laugh at the way I dance, when you smile when you hold my hand, I look at you and I understand. Sure feels good to love someone.
Here's a cool thing about Edgar. He just chills.
Go get him.